Hello, and welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of Harvest Church here in Elk Grove. We're excited to have you join us as we share God's message of hope and love. Each week, we bring you a new message from our pastors and guest speakers designed to inspire, uplift your spirits, and challenge you. Whether you're listening on your commute, at home, or on a walk, we hope these messages will bring you closer to God and help you on your faith journey. So without further ado, let's listen in.
Today, I'm preaching on the prayer of Jabez, part two, the theology of divine blessing. And I want to talk to you about the five types of blessings found in the Bible. This is important because people are searching and people are seeking for different things. People desire to be successful and they're looking for different avenues to acquire success. Some people go on to Miss Cleo and to the psychic network, and they're getting their palms read because they're trying to know the future to make the right moves. Some people, you know, they're buying crystals and tapping into the seven energy centers with the chakra to center them and give them peace and good fortune. Some people are consulting their horoscopes to have good vibes and predict their relationship compatibility. I know you're on your third marriage. You tried to get the horoscopes to work in your favor, but apparently they're not working. So you may want to put them down. Can I get a witness, somebody? Amen. That's not y'all. That's the people up the street. Amen. Praise the Lord. People are going to different elements to try to find blessings in their lives. But it's so amazing because the Bible has this story about this man named Jabez, who's the ultimate underdog. He's that guy that came from the wrong side of the tracks, born in the wrong family, raised in the wrong situation. And yet he does this radical thing and he prays this prayer, asking God to shift his story and change his destiny, because he said, God, my life is not good. Where I came from was not good. The circumstances surrounding my birth is not good. But God, if you have the power to do something about it, I'm going to pray this prayer. I'm not sure that you're going to answer it, but I'm going to pray it anyway, and I'm going to ask you to step into my situation. In 1 Chronicles chapter 4, 9 and 10, it says this. It says, now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. We don't know, and scholars don't know what happened during his birth experience, but it must have been so horrific and so bad and so terrible and so negative that his mother named him after the description of what she felt when she birthed him. Come on. It wasn't bad enough that the day he was born was a bad day for his mother and for himself, but he's marked for the rest of his life with the reminder that he brought tremendous pain to his mother and to everyone around him. I don't know if they were in prayer circles praying for the mother to not die when he was born. I don't know if the midwife was saying, we have complications. We don't know if we're going to lose the mother and the child. But whatever it was so horrific and so terrible that his mother literally named him after the experience, and she called him pain. And he's raised up as a kid and a teenager and a young adult, and everyone say, hey, pain, how are you doing? It's like, man, can I escape this curse that was pronounced upon me at my birth? And he goes to God and he said, Lord, I'm going to ask you something. I'm going to ask you, oh God, that you would bless me indeed, that you would enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I might not cause pain. That my life from here on out would not be a description of my name. And then God does this radical thing at the end of this prayer. And the Bible says at the end of verse 10, it says, and God granted him what he requested. Could it be we are one prayer away, one decision to go to God with our pain, our backdrop, our struggles, our difficulties, our bad experience? Are we one prayer away of saying, God, I know what was, but I have a vision of my life that looks nothing like my past, and I am willing to pray a prayer that's going to ask you to change my story and give me a different outcome? This is what the prayer of Jabez is about. This is what the story of Jabez is about. And the one thing that I've learned about the Bible is if God puts it in there, then you also have access to the same resources that the person in the Bible had access to. Amen? Your story does not have to be as it was. It could be something totally different. This is the true rags to riches story here in the Bible. Amen? So I want to talk to you about the five different type of blessings that God gives us, and each one of them are distinct and different. And today, as I discuss them, I want to help you to understand them, because if you understand them, they will unlock God's goodness in your life, your family, your business, your career, your education, or any other area of your life. Look at your neighbor and say, you do not have to remain as you were. You do not have to remain as you were. You do not have to be the same way that you've always been. You don't have to continue to do what you've always done. Some people say, we always done it that way. Well, why are you continuing to do it that way? You can have a different story, amen? And if you can't turn it around, go to God, and God can turn it around. He's just looking for someone with a little bit of faith, like maybe just a mustard seed size, to come to him and say, Lord, can you turn my story around? And I believe God is in heaven waiting, saying, I'm ready to turn some stories. Why? Because when God turns your story around, you become a testimony of his goodness. You become a testimony of his glory. You become a testimony of his mercy. You become a testimony of his reality. God loves to get glory, and he gets glory when he turns around your story and you testify that I was once blind, but now I will see. I was once lost, but now I'm found. God wants to turn your story around, and he wants you to testify of his goodness. So God is ready to answer the prayer and shift your destiny. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, I'm not a victim. I am God's testimony. Amen. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love to be able to say, man, God turned my life around. I love to say I was this way, but now I'm this way. And when people say, I don't see that on you, praise God. Well, that's the level of the transformation that God's done in my life. Amen. Come on. Some of you was dropping it like it was hot. Now you at church doing a holy dance. Can I get an amen? Hey, hey. Come on. Hey. All right, I'm going to be good today. I'm It's after 12. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Let's talk about these five type of blessings today. I want to give you these five blessings, and they are not going to be what you think they are. The first blessing, this one blows me away, because when I was studying this, and this is from Bruce Wilkinson, by the way, the guy who wrote the prayer of Jabez. This is from his teaching. This messed me up, because if we understood who God is, it would provoke us to worship and love him more and not take him for granted. See, we have a perception of God that's so twisted and warped and messed up because we really don't know who God is. But I'm going to show you that God is better to us than we deserve. And he's trying to bring us somewhere that we may not have even planned on going, but it is so good. Amen. So let's talk about these five types of blessing. The first type of blessing is what we call the common good blessing, given to everyone freely without conditions. The common good blessing given to everyone freely without conditions. Luke 6:35 says this. It says, love your enemies, do good to them, lend to them without expecting to be repaid, then your reward from heaven will be very great, and you will truly be acting as children of the Most High. And look at this, and here's the part that God is trying to get us to understand, that he is better to us than we deserve. It says, for he is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. God is kind to the unthankful and the wicked. When you were in the middle of your mess and you were acting a plumb fool and you were doing stuff you shouldn't be doing with people you shouldn't be doing it with and places you should not be, and things still worked out, this is God being merciful to the unthankful and the wicked just because you exist. You didn't earn it. You didn't do anything good for it. Matter of fact, you were doing something the opposite that should have caused you to not be blessed. And God was merciful and grateful and thankful to you anyway. Matthew 5:45 says this. It says, in that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven, for he gives his sunlight both to the evil and to the good. He sends his rain to the just and the unjust alike. Ooh. You're receiving benefits of the blessed and you may have been cursed. You're getting rain and you deserve drought. This is amazing. This is the first type of blessing, is the common good blessing. It's without conditions. So what are the requirements to receive this blessing? The requirement is just existing qualifies you. You were born. You're on planet Earth. You qualify for that blessing. God's response is this. God shows his mercy regardless of the action of the recipient. And the children of Israel in the book of Exodus is a perfect example. They asked for bread, and God gave them bread from heaven, manna, and they complained about the bread. They asked for quail. God gave them meat. He gave them quail. They asked for water. God told Moses to strike a rock, and water came out of the rock. They asked God. God sent forth his cloud to cover them from sunburn in the day and a pillar of fire to keep them warm and provide light at night. They did nothing to deserve it. It's just God's goodness and mercy because it's the nature of who he is. Amen? It's the nature of who God is. You exist because God lets you exist. Amen? God is good to you just because of his nature. He is a good God. So when people say, God don't like me, no. God likes you more than you realize. Because if God didn't like you, you wouldn't exist anymore. You hear what I'm saying? God could be like, and you disappear and no one knows where you're at. What happened to Billy? I don't know. God just made that brother like evaporate. That's what happens if God does not like you. So God's goodness and his mercy towards you is undeserved. He is just blessing you. The recipient receives a measure of God's blessing without any positive action on their part. This is the first blessing that we're talking about. Let's talk about the second type of blessing. The second blessing is what we call the compassion blessing. Everyone say the compassion blessing. This is giving on behalf of God's mercy and grace to those who ask. So the second blessing that you can receive is the one that you ask for. Amen. So Genesis 32:26, Jacob asked for a blessing, and this is what happened. Then the man said, let me go, for the dawn is breaking. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. God, I want a blessing. I'm asking you for a blessing. And then in verse 29, it says, and then he blessed Jacob there. Jacob asked for the blessing. He didn't deserve the blessing. Remember, Jacob had to run from his brother Esau from stealing his blessing. He was a thief, a blessing thief. Amen. Come on, you anyone? Look, you know you got favor on your life when you're stealing other folks' blessings. Amen. Jacob steals his brother's blessing. He is running for his life, and then he's about to go, and as he's moving, he gets a blessing simply because he asked. Psalm 67:1 says this: may God be merciful and bless us. May his face smile with favor on us. The psalmist is asking for God's favor upon the nation, and God grants them favor simply because they asked. So what's the requirement to receive this second compassion blessing? Ask God for something that he alone has the ability to give you. You just have to ask. And what's God's response and the benefit? God will give certain undeserved gifts, not based on your conduct, simply because the recipient asked for it. Amen. This is the power of salvation. The Lord gives us a gift, not because we deserve it, but because he is good and we ask for it. Amen. Listen, this is what I deal with Pastor Elizabeth when I first met her 24 years ago. And I met this Puerto Rican girl from New York. We were in Bible college. And I said, listen, I'm asking for a friend. I don't know if you need a husband or not, but I'm just asking for a friend. I don't know. Here we are 22 years later, amen. Hey, you have not because you? That's right. So some of y'all might get a wife or a husband. You just have to ask. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's talk about the third type of blessing. Woo. The third type of blessing is what we call the conversion blessing, given to those who meet the requirements of saving faith or faith in Christ. Acts 3:26 says this: when God raised up his servant Jesus, he sent him to you people of Israel to bless you by turning each of you back from your sinful ways. They were blessed because they got saved and God turned them from their sinful ways. Romans 4:7-8 says this: oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin. When I was working on this and I was writing this out, I thought about when a prison sentence is removed. Amen. Come on, this is the legal terminology. When they expunge the record, right? They cleanse the record as if it never happened. You know you committed the crime. They got the evidence and the proof of the crime. They got the video of the crime. And then you've been sentenced for the crime. But then God comes in and says, I know the crime is there. I got the proof and the evidence that it took place. But I'm removing the consequence or the punishment from the crime. Amen. We don't deserve salvation. We don't deserve to be forgiven. We don't deserve his mercy. But Jesus Christ came in like the best lawyer in all of heaven and earth, and he cleanses and washes away the sentence and the prison record that we deserve for our sinful behavior. Psalm says God has separated you from your sins as far as the east is separated from the west. And he remembers them no more. Why do you keep bringing up to God your past when God says, I've forgiven you and I've let it go? Amen. Lord, you can't use me because I did X, Y, and Z. And God says, I forgave you. So why are we talking about this right now? God, you can't do this with my life because I used to be like this. And God says, listen, are you like that now? No. So why are we talking about what you used to do? That's not who you are. Stop telling God what he can't do with you when he's delivering you from where you used to be and what you used to do. God needs some people to come into agreement with what he's done with their life so that he can bring you the places where he desires to bring you. Come on, Mary Magdalene was a prostitute and was possessed by 7 demons, and yet the Lord pulled her out of, I'm not going to say where he pulled her out of. He pulled her out of some dark places, and then he allows her to be the first person to see him after his resurrection, and then he sends her to go testify to the rest of the disciples that Jesus Christ has risen. Yes. Could you imagine Mary being like, she's at the grave, she's at where the stone has rolled away, and Jesus has risen, and the Lord reveals himself to her, and he says, now Mary, go and tell my disciples that I've risen. And her telling Jesus, well, Jesus, you know I used to be a prostitute, so I'm sorry, I can't go and tell them. Jesus, you know that I used to be possessed by 7 demons, so I can't go testify of your goodness. He didn't ask her where she came from. He said, go and do what I'm telling you to do, because I have set you free and saved you from your past. Stop telling God what he can't do with you and just go. Look at your neighbor, say, go. You are the testimony of his deliverance. You are the testimony of his salvation. You are the testimony of his goodness. You are the testimony that he is real. I believe Jesus loved when Mary Magdalene went around talking about him. I'm sure people like, aren't you Mary? Like Mary, like that Mary? And she said, I used to be until I met a man. And his name is the name that's above every name. At his name, people are raised from the dead. At his name, the sick are healed. At his name, the lost are saved. I met a man, and his name is Jesus. And I am no longer that Mary. I'm this Mary. I'm the holy Mary. I'm the Mary that testifies of his goodness. I'm the Mary that declares that Jesus Christ is Lord. And now I'm the Mary that declares that he's risen from the dead. Yeah, I'm that Mary. I'm the Mary that's been touched by the hand of God. Come on, will you be his testimony? Will you be the one that will declare who he is because he's impacted and touched your life? Hallelujah. God wants to get some glory. Will you be the one to spread his glory? You want to learn how to be used by God? Start spreading his glory. Start testifying of his goodness. Start making him known in places where he is not known. See, people think you need a pool. You don't need the pulpit to do that. You don't need this. This is false propaganda if you think you need a pulpit to bring Jesus glory. You know what? When you go to your job, give Jesus glory. When you go to your neighborhood, give Jesus glory. When you go to Nugget or to the salt, go give Jesus. When you go to Trader Joe's, give Jesus some glory. You can be a spreader of his glory everywhere he sends you if you so choose to be. A pastor, when can I preach? Yo, go to God. 7 gas stations you're going to pass up on the way home. Pull up in one of them and preach to all the people at the pumps. Come on, we can start your preaching ministry today, baby, at 1:30 p.m. Hey. Fix that real quick. So what's the requirement? Come into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as the Messiah, our Savior. And what is God's response? His response is he will save you and bestow his blessings on you because you have a relationship with his son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Praise God. What are the benefits? Forgiveness, eternal life, and the Spirit of God now lives on the inside of you. That's the benefits. Let's move to the fourth blessing. The fourth blessing is called the conduct blessing. Everyone say the conduct blessing. This is the blessing given to those who meet the revealed requirements of obedience. This is the blessing that probably 95% of people think about when they think of why does God bless you? They usually think about this and they skip or they overlook it. They don't know that the first 3 even exist or even the number 5 exists. They usually think this is the only way that God blesses people. And though this is one of the main ways that God blesses people, God blesses us in so many different ways. We don't always have the ability to recognize how God blesses us. Amen. I remember I wasn't saved, but I was 18 years old. I just graduated from high school. that night, they had something they call grad night because they didn't want the kids to go drinking and driving and have a tragedy on the night of graduation, because in the 90s, that had become a trend. Kids would graduate, drink, get in an accident, die on the night of their graduation. So now it turned into the worst day of the whole school's life, which should have been the best day of a class. And we, this thing, grad night, so they kept us in the city auditorium all night with games and fun. It was a blast. We had an awesome time. So they let us out about 5 o'clock in the morning. I drive home, I get to my house, and I'm kneeling down. I'm not saved, but that moment, I had a God moment. I said, God, I recognized that you brought me through these last years of high school. I know that there's no way I made it through these last 4 years. There were too many things that happened in my life that I was blessed with, and it doesn't make sense. There was like this intuitive thing that I just understood that God brought me through my high school career. And I remember saying, God, like, it was almost like, I don't know what's supposed to happen with my life, but whatever it is, I'm open to it. Like something more is out there, and I don't know how to get to it, but I'm just open to whatever is next. And I remember my goal that summer was to go to church 4 times. That was it. I said, my goal 4 times this whole summer break before I go to college, I want to go to church 4 times. I've gone to church 4 times in 1 day. But that's where I was at, because my heart was beginning the process of becoming open to God and to the things of God, because I was anti-God, I was anti-church. If you had Christian music in your house when I was a teenager, I would walk out of your house and politely excuse myself, because I didn't want to be around anything Christian. But God was starting to draw me and woo me and pull me in, and I didn't recognize, but something in me was like, a blessing is in my life that John Smith did not deserve. Amen. So let's talk about this fourth type of blessing, the obedience or the conduct blessing. This is the most common type of blessing. This is the if-then blessing. This is if you do this, then God will do this. Amen? Matthew 6:6, and I read it in our worship time, but I'm not going to read it from the New King James. This is the New Living. It says, but when you pray, go away by yourself and shut your door behind you and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. Or pray to your Father in secret, and the one who sees in secret will reward you openly. Amen. If you pray in secret, then God will reward you publicly. And Deuteronomy 28:1-6 is the perfect example of the if-then of the conduct blessing. It says this. It says, this is his promise to Israel. He said, if you do this, Israel, this is what I'm guaranteeing my part as God I will do for you. He said, if you will fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all his commands that I am giving you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the world. You will experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. Your towns and your fields will be blessed. Your children and your crops will be blessed. The offspring of your herds and flocks will be blessed. Your fruit baskets and bread boards will be blessed. And wherever you go, whatever you do, you will be blessed. He guaranteed them blessings if they obeyed his word. So what's the requirements to receive this fourth type of blessing? Obedience to God's commands. Amen? Amen. What's God's response? The Lord will bless those who obey his commands according to the level of their obedience. So the level to which you are obedient to what God is telling you to do is the level to which you'll be blessed. Are you with me? You control how much you are blessed by God by how much you obey his word. Not God. God has already determined, I'm going to release this level of blessing. How much of this blessing do you want? I've already determined, I'm going to do this. How much of this do you want? It's up to you. How obedient are you to my command? That's how much of this blessing you can have. Amen? And how many of us are missing out on God's blessings because we are still stuck trying to do us and do what we want to do? And God has clearly said, this is what I want to do. And you're like, nope, God, I don't want to do that. And God says, okay, then the blessings are just going to sit on the table and you're just going to be chilling, I guess. Amen. This blessing, you get to control. You, me, we get to control how much of the blessings and the conduct blessings we get based upon how much we obey God. You cannot disobey God and get the conduct blessings. You can be disobedient to God and get the first blessing, come on, of the common good just because you exist, but you cannot get the blessing. Common good is not an overflow blessing. Conduct blessing is an overflow blessing. Do you hear what I'm saying? You want to live in the overflow? You want it to be obvious God is with you 24/7? Conduct blessing is the way. What's the benefits? The Lord has already predetermined that he will bless those who follow his commands, and the recipient has the ability to release God's blessing through their actions. Amen? Hallelujah. I've shared this before. But my sister, I have an older sister myself, then we have a younger brother that's 8 years younger. My sister and I, in 24 years from first grade to graduation, we were pretty good kids. The third child, the one that was spawned from the pit of Hades, he got in more trouble in elementary than we got in 24 years of school. The teachers were calling my mom and they were like, Miss Smith, can you please come and pick up your son? We don't know what this kid is possessed with. He is crazy. So when it came time for us, my mom had a kind of a philosophy, a life philosophy. She said, I always buy my children their first car. Now they were all hoopties, but it still was the first car, right? Brought my sister, she turned 16, she got her first car, bam. I turned 16, got my first car. My brother turned 16, she couldn't give him a car because he would have been speeding up and down the street at 2 o'clock in the morning if he had a vehicle. So his conduct disqualified him from receiving a blessing that was waiting for him his entire life. My mom was waiting to give him a vehicle. And matter of fact, financially, she was in a better place when he came around than she was when my sister and myself came of age. And he would have got a double blessing, but his conduct disqualified him for receiving what was waiting to bless him and give him when he came of age. How many times is God like, I'm waiting to bless you. I want to pour this out on you. I have this thing that I want to bless you with. And he's saying, but I just can't give it because you're not doing what I've asked you to do. Ooh. And this is where jealousy come in. Because we get jealous of sibling one and sibling two when they got the thing that we had a right to, but we've not done the same things that they've done to get the blessing. God, why are you blessing so-and-so with that? Well, God's like, did you do what I told you to do? No. But I want it anyway. God says, that's not how it works, baby. You got to obey. Amen? You got to obey. Look at your neighbor and say, you have to obey. Hallelujah. And here's the fifth and final blessing, and we're out of here. This is called the compensation blessing. This blessing is given to everyone according to their good works and distributed after their death. Luke 14, 12 through 14 says this. This is Jesus speaking a parable, and it says, then he turned to his host, and he said, when you put on a luncheon or a banquet, he said, don't invite your friends, brothers, relatives, or rich neighbors, for they will invite you back, and that will be your only reward. Instead, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Then at the resurrection of the righteous, God will reward you for inviting those who could not repay you. This blessing, what's the requirements? Give to those who cannot repay you. What's God's response? God will give you a promised future blessing. What's the benefit? You will receive repayment from God during the resurrection in heaven, which will far exceed anything that you did here on earth. There's a part of this Christian life and this walk with God that you are going to receive a reward for what you did here on the earth, but you don't get it till you get to heaven. But let me tell you this, if you get a good run, you might live 80 years, and if you get super extra overflow, you might live to your 90, and then that's it. But you will live in eternity. That means a million years from now, a billion years from now, a trillion years from now, and even beyond. And you will live, hold on, you will live with whatever blessing in heaven that you earned while you were here on the earth. So would it not be to our greater benefit to find out how we get the compensation blessing, because this is the eternal blessing that we will live with forever? The compensation blessing is like an allowance. You don't earn your salvation. Your salvation is a gift from God. You can't do enough good stuff to get God to forgive you and love you. He loves you just because he's good. He has mercy on you just because he's good, not because you earned it. However, after you are saved, after you are in a relationship with him, after you are born again, after you are a part of the kingdom of God, then we go to work on behalf of our king, and the reward that we earn when we go to heaven is based upon the good works we do for him and for his glory while we are here on earth, because that's what we will be rewarded with and live with in heaven. Amen. This is what I call the Mother Teresa blessing. Yes. Mother Teresa went to Calcutta, India, and she worked with poor people that could give her absolutely nothing in return. But her reward was not based upon what she was going to receive on earth. Her reward was the mansions that she was going to get in heaven, because she worked amongst the people and did things for people who could not repay her back. If I invite you to dinner and I bless you, praise God, and you invite me back and you bless me, that's our reward. Praise the Lord. But what if I invite you to dinner and you can never repay me back? Then God says, now I'm going to reward you, because you did that for a person who had no ability to reciprocate financially in the same manner what you did for them. This is the reward of heaven. And sometime later in this year, I'm going to talk about our heavenly rewards and how to earn them and how to tally them up. Amen. Because listen, I don't know about y'all, but I want me a mega size mansion in heaven. I'm talking about with tennis courts and basketball courts. And I want a golf course around my mansion. I want horses running around with long manes. I want zebras and giraffes. I might even want a couple of lions, because they probably won't eat you in heaven. I want like a whole safari on my mansion in heaven. Come on, that's big. That's big stuff, amen? But that means that we have to work here on earth if we want those type of rewards in heaven. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, big mansions. Hey, hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to our sermon podcast. We pray that today's message has touched your heart and encouraged your spirit. We believe that the Word of God has the power to transform our lives and inspire us to be better versions of ourselves. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please share it with your friends and family. And don't forget to subscribe to our channel for more inspirational messages. Until next time, may the good Lord bless you. And we look forward to seeing you at one of our weekend services and sharing with you once again next week.